Today we begin with three Advent candles already lit, the week one hope candle, the week two peace candle, the week three joy candle, and in just a moment, we're going to go ahead and light the week four candle, our fourth and final candle. But before that, as promised, I'll go ahead and brief over Advent one more time with you, just in case someone needs to hear this and know this. As I've been sharing with you every week, the Advent display here carries all of the symbolism that we have wanted to give our full attention to during the month of December. It is a circular evergreen wreath with four candles inside. The evergreen means life. The circle means infinity. That is eternal life that is given to us, offered to us through Christ. The candles themselves represent gifts from God, specifically for the light that we see, the candle light on the flame on the candles that we light each week. It symbolizes Jesus as the light of the world. So overall, the Advent display is symbolic of the Advent, which simply means the arrival or the coming or the birth of Christ. And then again, specifically those four gifts that he brought to us in his incarnation. Week one, the first candle is a purple candle. Purple is the symbol of royalty. This is referred to as the prophet's candle or the prophecy candle. The theme for that for week one was hope. So lighting this candle symbolizes Jesus, the King of hope, lighting our hope through his advent, through his arrival. Week two, the purple Bethlehem candle with the theme of peace. This is symbolic of Jesus, the King of peace, lighting our peace through his arrival. Week three from last week is the pink shepherd's candle or Mary's candle. Pink is the color of joy, and joy was the theme for last week, week three. So lighting that candle symbolizes Jesus lighting our joy through his arrival. And now for this week's candle, the week four candle, it is known as the angel's candle. It is also a purple candle symbolizing royalty. The theme for week four, the theme for this morning is love. So lighting this candle symbolizes Jesus, the King of love, lighting or illuminating our love through his coming to this earth. So that is going to be the focus of this week's message. And at this time, I'm going to go ahead and have Charlie, our candle lighter for this morning, come forward and light our fourth candle here. Thank you. All right, not to sound like Celine Dion here, but let's talk about love. I'm dating myself, I know that. The younger people don't even know who Celine Dion is. Week four celebrates that specific gift from God, the gift of love. That gift it was embodied in the person of Jesus. And not only is love God's gift to us, but love was God's motivation for giving us that gift. Love was God's motivation for sending to us Jesus the Christ. Let's read in John 3:16. Maybe you've heard this verse before. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We are also told by John in 1 John that sending Jesus was God's way of visibly showing God's love to us. Listen to the first part of 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. John says this, in this, the love of God was made manifest. Manifest means to visibly show or display something. So in this, the love of God was visibly shown among us that God sent his only son into the world. And then I also, to get us started, want to read Romans chapter 5, verse 8, where Paul writes this, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So sending Jesus to us, that was God's way of expressing his feelings about you. So for those who believe in God, if there's ever one thing that you should never doubt, it is the extent of God's love for you, the depth of his love for you. So I would say this morning, 1,000 times yes, God loves you, and you should never doubt that, because the Lord did more to show you his love for you than anyone else has ever or will ever in your life. So, Jesus was God's ultimate gift of love to us. And what I want us to do here for just a few moments is unwrap that gift. Unwrap that gift that God gave to us. His love in the person of Jesus. Because gift giving speaks volumes, doesn't it? It really communicates our motivations and our feelings. We just talked about that. But what we haven't talked about is that gift giving also communicates perceived need. Perceived need. When you give someone a gift, what you're saying is something like this: I think you need this. Or I think you'll get a lot of service out of this. I think this is something that you really could use in your life. So imagine how offended you might be if you got a box from me for Christmas, and you looked inside, and I had gotten you soap and deodorant and a toothbrush and mouthwash and breath mints. I'm communicating something to you, aren't I? That's a statement. That's a bold statement. I'm saying, I think you stink, and here's how I think you can remedy that problem. Well, what kind of gift did God give to us? Well, Jesus, yes, of course. But I guess let's get more specific with that. What kind of Jesus did we get? Because that is going to communicate to us as human beings God's perceived idea of what the greatest human need would be, right? God gives you a gift. You just know right off the top that God is saying, this is the thing that you need the most. This is what I perceive your greatest need to be. And what was that, church? If God thought our greatest need was to have a good earthly government, God would have sent us Jesus the politician. He would have definitely been a Republican, I'm just saying, but he would have sent us Jesus the politician. If God thought your financial situation was your greatest need, then he would have sent us Jesus the financier. If God thought that your physical well-being was your greatest need, then God would have sent us Jesus the doctor, you know, Jesus MD. And if God thought our greatest need was entertainment, happiness, well, then he would have sent us Jesus the comedian, which sounds like a lot of fun, honestly. I would love that, because I would definitely use his jokes in my sermons. But what Jesus did we get? What Jesus did God send to us? Let's answer that by going back to 1 John chapter 4 and picking up in verse 9 and reading verse 10 along with that. Here's what John says. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, which means the atonement or the appeasement for our sins. So that's what God thought our greatest problem and our greatest need was. He thought our greatest problem was our separation from him because of our sin. And he thought our greatest need would be to have something to cover that distance in our fellowship with him, something to wash away our sins, something to give us abundant life now and eternal life in the future. And so that is why Jesus was sent by the Father. That was the communication of mankind's most pressing need in life. And Christian, I think that you would agree with me that God hit the nail on the head. I think you'd agree with me that God is the perfect gift giver. That God gave us the perfect gift in the person of Jesus. He was exactly what we needed. So it's no wonder that during Christmas time, we celebrate that perfect gift and the giving of the perfect gift giver by doing what? By giving gifts to one another. I know there are some people that get upset with that because they don't feel like gift giving really captures the spirit of Christmas. I think I'd contest that. I think I'd say that gift giving is a wonderful way for us to turn around and reflect to others the perfect gift that was given to us by God in Jesus the Christ. We get to act that out. We get to recreate that for others every Christmas. And no, I'm not just trying to pump you up for more gifts. You've already done enough. Thank you. But it's okay to be in the spirit of giving during Christmas. But that is all just the from. What about the to? That gift was given to all of us. And I'm asking you, you don't have to answer me out loud, but I'm asking you personally, have you received that gift? Have you received the gift of God, His love in the person of Jesus? And if so, what kind of gift receiver are you? It's actually a really good comparison to make here during Christmas time because the different responses to the gifts that you give and receive, they're pretty much the same responses that God gets to the gift of Christ that He has offered to us. First of all, there's always that person that gladly receives every gift that you give them and they fully appreciate it. And it probably starts with this: they are not offended by your existence. They don't hate your guts. They don't listen to negative gossip about you and let that stand as the formation of their opinion about you. They have an open heart to you. So if you're good and your gift is good, they're all for it. You know why? They're not dumb and they're not stubborn. They know a good thing when they see it. In the same way, there are those who gladly receive God's gift of love in the person of Jesus. And it starts with this: they aren't offended by God's existence. They don't hate Him. They don't let other people define who He is. They don't let the culture persuade them away from God, but they keep an open heart to Him. And they're willing to let God show them His love for them. They're willing to accept that gift and make full use of the privileges that that gift affords. Again, that is forgiveness of sin. That is right standing with God. That is relationship with God. That is abundant life now and eternal life in the age to come. Next, you have the person who pretends to gladly receive your gift, but actually they just hate it. And it's pretty easy to tell when someone's faking it because usually they really go overboard in trying to convince you that they like it, right? They're like, oh my goodness, how did you know? I have always wanted this. Honestly, I don't know how much longer I could have lived without this. And you're like, yeah, right. It's just a pair of knee socks. No one even wears knee socks anymore. Pretty easy to tell when people are faking. And the Lord gets a lot of those. They pretend to receive God's gift of love. They even say that they've received it, but the truth is they've never really actually received it. They've never really actually taken that gift. They are a taker faker. They're just completely pretending. And, you know, God's gift is put on the shelf until it's Sunday again and time to go to church. And you know how that goes. It's kind of like this. Honey, dig out that painting from the back of the closet. The Steinbreckers are coming over for dinner. Remember that painting they bought us last Christmas? Yeah, we need to drag that thing out, hang it on the wall, pretend like we like it, and pretend like it's been there all year long. Well, people do that with God. time to go to church, time to pretend that we've received God's gift of love, time to lip sync to the songs. People will really think we're singing. Church people are really easy to fool. Lip sync to the songs. Give a small offering. Act like we're paying attention to the preacher. Maybe amen him a few times. Pretending to be a Christian. Faking as though you have received the gift of God. And last of all, there are those who just flat out reject the gifts that you give them. They just flat out refuse to receive them. And I would say, you know, thank you for being honest at least. And I don't know if you've ever dealt with people like that. And they're just like, no, you keep that. I couldn't possibly, that's too much. You keep that. I can't receive that. Personally, I like people like that because I can just buy them whatever it is that I want. And then when they reject it, I have to keep it. Which means one of you are definitely getting a Harbor Freight sawmill from me for Christmas. And Maggie can't be mad if you reject it. I have to keep it. We all know Harbor Freight doesn't have a return policy. Right? The Lord gets a lot of those responses too. And it completely perplexes me. I really don't understand it. How so many people reject Jesus, the gift of God's love, the expression of God's love to them. And I think if we identify the various reasons why people don't receive our gifts, our earthly gifts that we give to them, I think we can get pretty awfully close to finding the same basic reasons why people reject God's gift of love to them. One reason why someone might not want a gift from you is because they feel as though you can't afford it. You get them something really nice, and they make you feel like you sold the farm to get it. They make you feel bad. It's a little insulting because they're like, oh, no, I couldn't possibly. I know your situation. I know the kids need braces. I know you got the mortgage due. I couldn't possibly accept that. And you're just like, well, gee, thanks. I feel better now. A bit insulting, well, unless you really would rather have the money, take the gift back, exchange it, and get the money. But to each his own. That kind of thing may not be as common during Christmas time. I admit that with our Christmas gift exchanges. But I think it happens more throughout the year, probably no more often than when you're sitting at dinner with a person at a restaurant and the bill comes due and the fight begins. Let me get that. No, I know your expenses. I know your financial situation. No, I couldn't possibly let you do that. They act as though you're like $1 away from living in a cardboard box under the overpass on Route 51, you know. That does not feel good. Well, some feel that way with God. And how do we know that God can really afford to give us this gift of love? Can he really pull this off? And I would point us back to 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, the second part of that verse. It just says this. God is love. God is love. God isn't just loving. He doesn't just have love to give, but the Bible tells us that God is love. Now, if he were just giving love to all, then maybe it would stand to reason that at some point he runs out. There's just no more availability there for his love. We're all kind of like that. We can only have so many friends. I forget what the poll is, the number is, but it's like once you hit a certain amount of close friends, you just don't have time or money or energy for more friends. Maybe that's the case with God. Maybe, you know, if he were just giving love, maybe that's not a guarantee that that offer will stand for us and that his love will be available to us. But no, God isn't just loving, and he doesn't just have love to give. God is love. So no matter how much love God gives out, he is never going to run out. There is always going to be more. There is always going to be love for you. He is love. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 says this. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. That phrase, steadfast love, appears 194 times in the Bible. 194 times in the Bible. That means something to me. I saw a comment from a social media warrior, a keyboard warrior, just a few days ago over a biblical comment, and the comment was over how often that statement appeared in the Bible, and someone wrote a comment, spoke up, and said, well, just because God talks a lot about something in the Bible, that doesn't make it either any more or less true. And that's true, more or less. But what it does do is it shows us God's emphasis. When God talks about something a lot, that's his way of saying, I want to make sure you know this. And what I take from that, 194 times in God's word, he's trying to tell you, my love for you is never going to run dry. My love for you is never going to run out. As often as you come back to that well, there will be love for you. Another reason why someone might not want to receive a gift from you is because they don't feel as though they deserve it. And oftentimes there's guilt that is involved there. They know either how they treated you or how they thought about you. They know that they've run your name through the mud. They know that they have persuaded others into disliking you, trashing you behind your back, treating you like dirt. They feel hatred in their heart for you, maybe, and then there you are with the temerity to give them a valuable gift. And because they treated you like dirt, they feel lower than dirt. They reject that gift. And that is the wonderful thing about gift giving. Gift giving isn't based on what people deserve, is it? Gift giving is based entirely on the gift giver themselves. It is based on what feeling or emotion the gift giver wants to communicate to the gift receiver. It is based on the generosity of the gift giver, the love, the kindness, the mercy of the gift giver. And for me, Christmas of 2017 comes to mind, because during the month of December, I worked like around the clock. I was driving a tractor trailer at that time. And Wesley and Rachel were living with me. And man, I made a lot of money that month, a lot of overtime. And so I took and I spent about $1,300 on them each, $1,300 each that year. They got computers, they got games, they got a whole bunch of stuff that they want. Was that because they deserve that? Definitely not. If anything, they were little terrors at that time. It had nothing to do with what they deserved. It was about me communicating something to them. They had had 5 or 6 really rough years. And I wanted to go a little bit overboard and show my heart and bless them and make that day very happy. And so the feeling of being unworthy or some sense of guilt over bad behavior is, if that's the reason why you have rejected God's gift of love for you, then there's something you really need to know. And that is that we are all unworthy. We are all undeserving. Not one of us has been given the gift of God's love because we deserve it. Not one of us. And again, I would take you back to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. We read this already, but Paul says in that verse, God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me give you one more reason why someone might not want to receive a gift from you. It's because they know that if they accept that gift, they're going to feel obligated. They're going to feel like they have to reciprocate. You got them a gift. Oh boy, now they got to do something, right? You know how this works. Every Christmas, you find out, oh boy, that family bought us gifts. Oh great. All right, last minute. Now we got to run out and we got to get that whole family gifts. We thought we were done. No, we're not done, because they had to get us gifts. And now we have to reciprocate. We feel like there's strings attached in that kind of giving. that, you know, if we got from them, well, they're going to expect from us. And let me tell you something. I think that is probably the number one reason why people reject God's gift of love to them. I think that is the number one reason why people reject the gift of Jesus for salvation. It's because they don't want to feel obligated to reciprocate. If I accept God's love, oh man, that means I gotta go to church. I gotta sit with those people for an hour and a half. I gotta start praying. I gotta start reading my Bible. I gotta change my lifestyle. I gotta start living different. My behavior has to change. Man, there's a lot of things that are gonna be expected of me if I take that gift from God's hand. Here's the great news about God's gift of love. There are no strings attached. That gift is unconditional. You don't have to do anything to receive it. You won't owe God a thing. You don't have to reciprocate. You don't have to merit it or deserve it, because the truth is there's nothing you could do in life that could generate enough value that you could actually pay him back. Not going to happen. Here's how this works. You don't have to change anything to accept the gift of Christ. And after you received it, even after you received the gift of Christ, you don't have to change anything that you do not want to. And that is the best part of all this. The most glorious aspect of receiving that gift. Once you receive it, you'll want to. Receiving the gift of God's love, the person of Jesus, will change everything for you. Not because it has to, but because it just does. Your wants will change. Your desires will change. Your likes and your dislikes. Your behavior will change. All of that will happen because you've received his gift. That gift, once you take it, it will revolutionize the way that you think and the way that you live. And there's no way to avoid that. And it is the most glorious thing ever. A few weeks ago, I gave you a hypothetical about me depositing $5 million into your bank account. I'm going to do one better than that this morning. I want to let you know that before you came to church, I knew every one of you were going to be here. That's right. Yep. Bob and Peggy, I knew. Yeah, you were going to be here. And I deposited $100 million into each one of your bank accounts. Now, you should know those are hypothetical dollars before you go and use your bank card. You should know that. But consider this. If I did deposit $100 million into your bank account this morning, would that change the way that you live? The answer is yes. That would change the way you live. Don't you think you'd start to do something different if you had $100 million in your bank account? Don't you think maybe you'd upgrade from the single wide to the double wide at least? Or maybe you'd just sell your house and go move up there on the summit on the mountain right by Rick and Lisa? Don't you think you'd eat differently? Don't you think you'd dress differently? Don't you think you'd spend differently? Don't you think you'd behave differently? The deal is that massive gifts in our life, they change the way we view life and the way that we live life. You might want to write that down. Massive gifts in our life, they change the way we view life and they change the way that we live life. And there is no more gift, no more massive a gift in this life than the gift of God's love through the person of Jesus. And I'm telling you, if you receive that gift today, it is going to change everything for you. And that is a Christmas deal, money back guarantee. If you receive the gift of Christ for the first time this morning, and that does not change your life, you come back and let me know. We'll take your money right back out of the offering, and you'll get it back. Money back guarantee. And that brings me to my closing thought for this morning. For those of us who have received the gift of God, there is something you're definitely going to want to do. I said want, not have to do. If you've received God's gift of love, the person of Jesus, your salvation, there is something you're definitely going to want to do. At Christmas time, we call that re-gifting. He's going to talk about re-gifting. I want to take us back to John chapter 4. We read verses 9 and 10, and now I want us to read the next two verses. This is verse 11. Beloved. And stop right there. Beloved. What does that word mean? Because before we read the rest of the verse, we need to know who John is talking to. Who is he talking to? He is talking to those who are already loved by God. And that's not just like in the general sense of, well, God so loved the world. Yes, he does love the whole world. But you can't be beloved by God if you have not received that gift. John is talking about people that have received the gift of God's love and they are beloved. They are already loved by God and they're loving him back. That's who we're talking about here. We're talking about the sinner that God has made a saint through his love. And he says this, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. I think it is safe to say that we are all a little offended by those who re-gift the Christmas presents that we give to them. Man, slap in the face. I spent my money on that. I spent a good 3 or 4 minutes trying to figure out the perfect gift for you. And that's what you do with it. You wrap it up and you give it to someone that you forgot to get a gift for. Now I feel terrible. Regifting doesn't make us feel good at Christmas time. But God does not have a problem with us regifting. In fact, if we're going to receive God's love, regifting his love to others is just an expected part because it's part of the whole package. Jesus said this, the greatest commandment is to love God. And he said the second greatest commandment is just so closely attached to that that I couldn't even leave it out of the conversation. The second is like it, he said, that we love others. That we love our neighbors, that we love others. This kind of regifting is different. When God asks you to regift his love to others, it's different than regifting the Christmas presents that we've been given. Because when you regift God's love that he's given to you, you're not giving away what he's given to you and then ending up with nothing in the exchange. So when you regift God's love, you don't lose out. You don't lose your part of it because this is a flow. This is a source. I think if we were looking for a modern day metaphor, it would be something similar to this. This is probably a terrible metaphor, but something similar to living at home and mom and dad paying for your streaming service. So, you know, you get a username and a password. And now you have not Netflix. I'm sorry, this is a church service. PureFlix. Now you have PureFlix. And they're paying for that service. It costs you nothing. It's a gift to you. You have complete access to it. But if you re-gift your username and your password to someone else, you didn't lose access. You still got complete access, and now your friend has complete access as well. That's crudely what it looks like when we re-gift the love that God has given to us. We don't lose a thing, and our friends and our families and our loved ones, they benefit by that. So I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to close in prayer.